You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now. Give me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. We got some great stuff to talk about, man. But first and foremost, before we jump into things, just want to say I apologize, man. I missed y'all last week. It was Mother's Day weekend, man. Had to take some time off and spend time with moms. I hope each and every one of you had a great time with your mother and celebrated your mother's on that day, man. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We appreciate you. We appreciate each and everything that you do, everything that you've done for us. And for those of you who may not have moms here with you on earth anymore, my thoughts and prayers go out to you. And I hope that you are still able to celebrate the life of your mother and remember the great times and the great memories, man. So let's jump into our sports talk tonight, man. So we witnessed history this week, man. That's right. Russell Westbrook, man. He broke Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. He sets it when he posted his 182nd triple-double on Monday against the Atlanta Hawks. Westbrook finished this game with 28 points, 21 assists, and 13 rebounds in a 125-124 loss. Now, Russell Westbrook actually had an opportunity to win the game, got the ball in transition with about 8 seconds left, dribbled it up the court, decided to settle for a three, just came up short, and the Wizards lost this game. But that doesn't take away from what Russell Westbrook was able to do. Shout out to him, man, accomplishing a great goal, man. This is something that we never thought we would see. Now, Oscar Robertson, he recorded his 181st triple-double on March 24th of 1974. Now, he had been an all-time leader since he took the lead during the 1961-62 season. Now, this is 47 years that he has held this record, y'all. Nearly 50 years that this record has been in place, and Oscar Robertson has held it. Now, after the game, Russell Westbrook said, it's just a blessing, man. You put so much into the game, so much time. You sacrifice so much to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar, Magic Johnson, and Jason Kidd. Those guys is something I never dreamed about as a young kid growing up in L.A. Truly grateful for moments like this. So with Monday's triple-double, Russ now has 36 on this season, and he's already set the record for the most triple-doubles in a season with the 42 that he had from the 2016-2017 season. And hey, man, again, man, just hats off, man. We have to take our hats off, man, and appreciate when we see great accomplishments like this, man. And I know a lot of times people give Russell Westbrook a lot of negative feedback. They say a lot of negative things about Russ, but one thing that you've heard about it from his coming from his teammates is, man, he's a hard worker. He puts his heart and soul out there on the court each and every night, man. We see how he hustles. We see how he plays. And he's going to go down, man, as one of the best point guards in NBA history for sure, man. And that doesn't take away, despite the negative things that people have to say about him, man. You can't deny the athleticism. You can't deny the grit. You can't deny the tenacity that he plays with each and every day, each and every night that he's on the basketball court, man. We see him out there putting his body out on the line, and you can't do anything but be happy for Russell Westbrook. Hopefully one day Russ can get him a ring before he decides to retire and leave this game. Hoping that, but even if he doesn't, man, just to accomplish something like this, something that we might not, well, we did say that back then. I know they said that they would never see this record broken, but right now it's like, man, like I don't want to ever say never, but it's gonna be a very long time before we see something like this ever accomplished in the NBA. And Jason Kidd actually gave Russ a new title, a new nickname. So we shall now call Russell Westbrook Mr. Triple Double. So that came from Jason Kidd himself. Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple Double, man. Congratulations, man. And hey, look forward to seeing what happens next. I know they're still fighting to be in this play-in scenario that's going to be coming up next week. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, let's shift gears here and talk about the NFL. So the NFL officially released their schedule. And now we know all the matchups from the 17-game season that's going to be played this year, man. It's exciting, man. We can smell football in the air. We know the matchups. So let's talk about the matchups, the must-watch matchups in week one. So I'm going to tell you guys a few of the matchups that I'm circling on my list that I'm like, man, I got to see this game. So I'll probably have multiple screens up, go to Dad's house, sit back. Hey, we got a couple of TVs, man. Cut both of them on so we can watch these games simultaneously and just really enjoy some football. And we'll be seeing fans back in the stadium, too. So it'll be even more exciting. I still hope people follow the guidelines, man, wear their mask. I know we're going to see a lot of people that won't have them on, but I just excited about having football near, man. It's approaching. So let's talk about the matchup. So the first matchup that I'm interested to see is the first game of the year, man. That's kicking off on Thursday, September 9th, with the Cowboys going on the road to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this game is going to be kicking off at 8:20 p.m. So here's the interesting thing about this. So Dak's going to be returning from his injury last year, from the broken ankle that he broke on October the 19th. So the Cowboys are going to be taking the field with a new restructured defense. We saw the draft that they had. They went heavy defense in this year's draft. So they addressed some areas of concern, but they have a bunch of young guys now, and I think they've addressed some defensive needs in free agency as well. So they'll come back with the restructured defense, revamp, and we'll see how Zeke and those guys come out. But let's look at Brady, man. Tom Brady and the Bucks, man. They're returning, and they're gonna have everybody back. So are they going to be able to set the tone from last year with everybody returning? So that's one of the questions here. Like, how are the Bucks going to look coming out the gate? Are they going to have that Super Bowl hangover and struggle throughout the season? Are we going to come out and see Tom Brady just as poised, being the Tom Brady that we know, and really picking up where they finished last year, man, and really just dominating the way that they did against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So how will Dak look after signing his new deal? So we all know Dak got his deal that he was looking for. How's he going to come out? We know sometimes when people get these large deals, they tend to struggle. Not wishing that on Dak Prescott at all. I hope he comes out in balls because I do think that he definitely got a contract that was well-deserved. So how's he going to come out? Has the Cowboys defense really improved? You know, they brought these people in, they drafted, they brought some people in free agency. Has this defense really improved? What are they going to show us when they go on the road against Tampa Bay? Can Zeke Elliott protect the football? We saw him struggle with holding on to the football last year. Can he right that wrong? Can he right the ship? Make sure he holds on to the football, protect the football. That was an issue. Like I said, man, he was at the top of the league in running backs with fumbles last year. So can he protect the football? Will this offensive line be able to protect Dak Prescott? How are they going to come out? How are they going to look? So those are questions that have yet to be answered, but they will be answered pretty soon in these next few months when we get to September, man. And again, it's exciting. I can't say enough about how excited I am, man. And of course, we have to see the preseason, and I'll probably be tuned in watching the preseason too, y'all, to be honest with you. I know in past times we didn't really watch preseason like that, but I like to watch the preseason to see all the rookies and kind of see those names, the up and coming players that you don't hear about as much. So the second game on my list is actually the Eagles coming here to Atlanta to match up against the Falcons on September 12th. So that's at Sunday at 1 p.m. So my question is here, you know, will Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith jump out the gate with an instant connection and have a big game? We all know that they played together in Alabama. Are we going to see that connection, man? Are they going to incorporate some things that we're run at Alabama, some routes that they are comfortable with together? How is that going to look? How will Hurts look in his first legit official start as the guy in Philadelphia? We all know that they moved on from Wentz. They gave Jalen Hurts some time to really show his skill set, show what he was able to do. He came in and he had an impact. He got the locker room to really buy into his mentality and the way that he plays the game. So is he gonna? I'm really interested and excited to see how he continues to grow in his role when he's now officially the guy. And I think that they will have some success, man. And I think that they'll compete in the NFC East for sure. So how will the Falcons defense look? So we all know the Falcons defense has been suspect this past year, man. They had some secondary issues at the linebacker position, and some issues at cornerback. So we saw what they did in the draft. They went out and 6 out of their 9 draft picks were defensive players. So they went out there and addressed some needs there. So how will Kyle Pitts perform in his first game? So are they going to come out and what is this Falcons offensive plan going to look like? So are they going to run this offense through Kyle Pitts? Are they going to split him out wide, bring him in close? How are they going to navigate through this? And it's going to be really interesting here because a report just came out this week that the Falcons are still listening to trade offers about Julio Jones. So how is this really going to affect that offense heading into the season? Are they going to hold on to Julio Jones? Are they going to trade him? If they do decide to trade Julio Jones, then that means this offense is going to be run strictly through Kyle Pitts, if you ask me. I know that you have Calvin Ridley, and he has good playmaking ability. But if there's no Julio Jones, the offense is definitely going to run through the tight end in Kyle Pitts, and he'll have his opportunity to get a lot of targets. And we'll really see what he can do in his rookie season. But I think that Kyle Pitts is going to have a good rookie year. But still there's that concern out there about the Falcons defense with them having such a young defense. Are they going to be able to just bounce back and be able to play discipline, play sound? And I know that they do have a favorable matchup, having the Eagles come here to Atlanta, and with this being Jalen Hurts' first, you know, official start as the QB1, you know, on the road in a hostile environment like Mercedes-Benz Dome, it's definitely going to be a show, and I'm really excited to see how this pans out. And I think back to all those, like, the Eagles and the Falcons matchups back in the day. You had McNabb and Vic going at it. Those are always really good games, so we'll see what happens there. Next up, man, the Browns at the Chiefs on that Sunday, September 12th at 4:25 p.m. So how will the Browns offense look with Odell coming back, man? We saw that they addressed and added some more speed when they drafted wide receiver out of Auburn. Schwartz, they brought him in. He's a really speedy guy. So they added some more speed on the offensive end. And can the Browns get revenge from last year's playoff loss, minus Pat Mahomes? We all know last year in the playoffs, we saw the Browns had the Chiefs on their heels. Pat Mahomes actually went out of the game, but they were not able to secure the victory. They were not able to take advantage of Pat Mahomes not being in the game, and they ended up losing to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs advance to the AFC Championship game. So how will the Chiefs' offensive line look, minus both of their veteran starting tackles? So for you all that don't know, their Pro Bowl tackle Eric Fisher, he's no longer there. He actually signed with the Indianapolis Colts. And their All-Pro Mitchell Schwartz, he's currently a free agent. But they did sign Orlando Brown in free agency. Orlando Brown was with the Baltimore Ravens. So now he is in Kansas City. So how is that going to look? What is that going to look like? Are they going to be able to bounce back and protect Pat Mahomes after having such a struggle in the Super Bowl? So we'll see what that ends up, how that ends up playing out. Next up, man, the Packers at the Saints, September 12th as well. That Sunday, also at 4:25 p.m. Now, this is an interesting one here, y'all, because we know what's going on in Green Bay. We know everything that's circulating around Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, and is he going to be playing? Is he not going to be playing? I told y'all this before on the air. I love it. I love to see everything in Green Bay crashing down. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for him anymore. Davante Adams is talking about if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, he might reconsider his stance with the team. I just love it, man. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I say it all the time. I'll say it one more time. Bear down. I want to see the Packers go down. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers owning us all these years. And now it is almost coming to an end. All right, y'all. I'm sorry. I got off track. But I'm back. I'm sorry. You got to give me some time to celebrate this. Y'all don't understand. Y'all really don't understand. All my Bears fans that's listening, y'all understand. Y'all know where I'm coming from. But again, will Aaron Rodgers be running out of that gate, man? Is he going to be starting at quarterback? My guess, I don't think he is. I said this before. It didn't matter what the Packers did in the draft. I still didn't think Aaron Rodgers was going to be in a Green Bay Packers uniform this year. Now, there are some who are still hopeful out there that he's going to be in uniform and suited up and playing. Me, I think it's done. I think it's over with. So who also in New Orleans? So who's going to be the starting quarterback between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston? So who's going to win that battle? Who's going to be QB1 coming out in that first week one matchup? And then one thing in the game. So who's going to actually win the running game battle? So, you know, Aaron Jones is actually returning to Green Bay, and then Alvin Kamara is in New Orleans. So who's going to win that battle on the ground? That's what I'm going to be interested to see, especially if Aaron Rodgers is not there and you have to roll Jordan Love out as QB1 in New Orleans for his first game. So that's going to, and after not playing one meaningful snap last year in last year's season. So it's good. Definitely going to be interesting to see what happens there. But I'm pretty sure if Jordan Love comes out there, they're going to have to rely heavily on that running game, because you don't want to have the rookie out there. Well, he's not a rookie anymore, but you don't want to have him out there really just struggling early on and getting tore up by Cameron Jordan. So because I know that they will bring that pressure. But if I'm the Green Bay Packers, they better start getting Jordan Love ready. And get this, y'all. This is even more comical to me. They went out and they signed Blake Bortles. The Green Bay Packers did. So Blake Bortles is now a Green Bay Packers. So you got Jordan Love. Blake Bortles is the backup. Aaron Rodgers is pending. Hoping to get traded. If he doesn't get traded, he said that he's considering retirement. So we'll see what happens there. But again, man, I love it. I love it, man. I'm looking forward to the cheeseheads continuing to melt. And last but not least, man, you know I had to go with my Bears. Going on the road to face the Rams in SoFi Stadium, Sunday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. Question here, man. Will Justin Fields emerge in camp and end up being the starter in week one? Me personally, I don't necessarily think you want to roll him out there week one against Aaron Donald in that defense. I would be cautious about that, but if they get in camp, man, and he shows that he's just above the level that they felt like he would be at coming out of camp, man, who knows? He could wind up being a starter, man, if he really shines. But I still think you roll out with Andy Dalton to start. You give Justin Fields some time. If Andy Dalton struggles, hey, maybe you put Justin Fields in the game. Maybe you incorporate him in the game plan still. Give him some opportunity to get some snaps in. You know, mix it up. Don't let the Rams be prepared for just Andy Dalton. If it's me, I'm going to roll out both of those quarterbacks and see if I can catch the Rams slipping and catch them on their heels. And what will Matt Nagy's game plan be to handle that pass rush and pressure from Aaron Donald? So we know last year the Rams actually got the best of my Bears when we traveled on the road and went and played in SoFi Stadium with no fans last year. So what's going to be the game plan now? Are you going to be able to double him? I know they have a revamped offensive line, doing some different things, can still probably address some offensive line depth in free agency. So we'll see what happens there. But what I'm interested to see, what's that game plan going to look like? And how will Matthew Stafford look in his first game with a new team against a familiar foe? So Matthew Stafford leaving the Lions, going to the Rams, facing a divisional rival, an old divisional rival, when he was in Detroit against the Bears. You know, the Bears have had, they've had their battles, Matthew Stafford and the Bears, so they know Matthew Stafford very well. But now he's in a different style offense, so we'll see what happens there. They're gonna do a lot of play action. We know what Sean McVay likes to do, play action, rolling out, getting the ball out quick. He loves the quick screens. Robert Woods, you know, he loves to utilize the speed that he has. Does a lot of screens with the running back as well. So we will see what happens, man. But of course, you know, I'm rocking with my Bears all the way. And for a bonus matchup, and y'all, I haven't made my picks, if you haven't noticed, not making my picks for these games. Gotta say that for down the line, man, when we start picking these games. So I'm not going to make picks now, if those of you were wondering. And just for a bonus game that I'm excited to see, man, how about Baltimore, the Ravens, going on the road to Las Vegas to play the Raiders in Vegas, man. The first game in Vegas with fans, man. It's going to be crazy. September 13th, Monday Night Football. Excited to see how the stadium is going to look, man. And they're supposed to have a nice little setup. Some like bar kind of setup, club type of, I don't know whatever you call it, whatever they're doing is supposed to be pretty insane, y'all, in the stadium. So I'm excited to see how that thing turns out and seeing what the fans are gonna look like in that stadium, man. So NFL talk over with, man. Let's shift gears and talk some NBA talk, man. We're going back to the NBA. So let's look at the current NBA standings and the current play-in tournament scenarios, y'all. So NBA, wind it down, man. We only got about 3 games left, and we're going to be looking at the play-in tournament coming up on the 18th next week, man. It's going to be exciting. So again, let's look at these current standings right now. So in the East, we got the 76ers, who clinched a playoff berth. They're currently the number 1 seed. The 2 seed, the Brooklyn Nets, they've clinched a berth. They're a game and a half back from the number 1 seed. Number 3, we got the Milwaukee Bucks. They actually clinched the division, 3 games back out of first. But they will clinch a playoff berth. The Atlanta Hawks clinched the playoff berth with their win against their second win in a row against the Wizards. So the 5th seed, we got the Miami Heat. They clinched the playoff berth. The 6th seed, the New York Knicks, clinched a playoff berth for the first time since 2013. So Spike Lee, man, Spike Lee was actually decked out in his Knicks stuff on a Tuesday night when they played the Lakers in L.A., but they were not able to seal the deal in the overtime loss. A great game, actually. But I know he's decked out in his Knicks stuff. He's happy right now. So first time he gets to see since 2013, he gets to see his Knicks in the postseason. So the play-in. So right now, the play-in is going to be with the 7th through the 10th seeds, people, if you didn't know already. So the current 7th seed is the Celtics. The 8th seed is the Hornets. The 9th seed is the Pacers. And the 10th seed is the Wizards. So let's look at the West. So the Jazz, number 1 seed, they clinched. Number two seed currently is the Suns. They've clinched and they're a game and a half back from first. The three seed is the Clippers. They've clinched. Four seed is the Nuggets. They've clinched. The Blazers are the five seed. They will clinch. The six seed is the Mavs, and they've clinched the division, but they will clinch a playoff berth. And the play-in right now is currently the Lakers are the seventh seed. They're actually one game back from a fifth or a sixth seed. The eighth seed is the Golden State Warriors. The ninth seed is the Grizzlies, and the tenth seed is the Spurs. So, with that being said, how is this play-in tournament structured? So, I'm going to break this thing down for y'all, okay? For those of you who may not know, let's break this thing down, all right? So, the team with the seventh highest winning percentage in each conference will host the team with the eighth highest winning percentage in a play-in game. The winner will earn the number seven seed. Also, the team with the ninth highest winning percentage in each conference will host the team with the 10th highest winning percentage in that conference. And same thing, that winner will earn the number eight seed. So let's look at the current play-in matchups right now if the season were to end today. So if the season was to end right now today, the Lakers with the seventh seed would go up against the Golden State Warriors with the eighth seed in the West. And then you got the Grizzlies at the ninth seed will go match up against the Spurs, who would be the 10th seed. So that's the West. In the East matchup, you would have the Celtics, who would be the 7th seed, versus the Hornets, the 8th seed. And you have the Pacers, who are the 9th seed, versus the Wizards, who are the 10th seed. So current play in games if season were to end today. The NBA playoffs actually start on Saturday, May 22nd, and they will conclude no later than July 22nd. So those are the potential play-in matchups that we have right now, man. So just looking at this, man, it's going to be interesting how things are winding down, man. You got the Lakers, man, they're really fighting to try to get that sixth seed, and just really looking at it, if I'm the Lakers, I wouldn't want to play a Warriors team who's being led by Stephen Curry right now, who's really balling out of his mind, balling out of control, man. He's really, really elevating his game and really gotten his team really believing in that they can win this whole thing this year. I mean, that's the mentality that they're going out with. When the season started, man, and they came out and Klay wasn't there and they were struggling, everybody kind of wrote him off. And Steph is like, no, I'm here to win. So he's on the roll right now, y'all. And just looking at the Eastern Conference, man, you got the Celtics. That's not a favorable matchup trying to go up against the Hornets, man. You got LaMelo who's back and just balling, man. That assist game is ridiculous. So that's not a favorable matchup, especially when the Celtics just lost Jaylen Brown for the rest of the season. So, man, that's tough right there. And the Wizards and the Pacers, that'll be an interesting one, man. Can Westbrook continue to kick things into gear, man, and wheel his team into this playoff, man, because they have back-to-back losses against the Hawks, man. So, got to see what happens there. And that's the play-in, man. So we just went over the standings, just went over the current play-in matchups. If everything was to stop today, we might still see these matchups if everything stands as is, if people who are in front continue to win. So let's talk about the Lakers and the Nets. So we're going to shift gears here. So LeBron actually set another game. He was supposed to be coming back on Tuesday. Actually said that he was going to sit and come back Wednesday. Wednesday said he wasn't going to be playing again, still resting, but he did say that he was going to be there to lift the banner with the fans, the championship banner, because that was the most important thing. After he said that, a lot of people were rubbed the wrong way about that, because pretty much taking that as him putting the banner over the game and saying that it's not important to play the game. So you got some chatter going on about that. I'm pretty just taking it as, you know, LeBron's just resting and trying to allow these younger guys to get that experience and hope that, you know, he can continue to get himself back at as close to 100% as possible. And if they're in a play-in situation, he could come back and really contribute. But, you know, people had their opinions about it. You know, I wouldn't question him in his importance of the game. But a lot of people, his mentality on on playing. But I know a lot of people are fed up with the load management scenarios and everything like that. So it is what it is, y'all. We all have our opinions about it, but that doesn't mean it's going to make anything change. So we'll see what happens, man. And hey, it is what it is. But the Lakers, like I've already mentioned, they're still alive for that top six spot. And Harden is actually going to return. So we shift the gears. Actually, no, let's not shift gears just yet. So we're talking Lakers and Nets. But the question here is, who's in a better position right now heading into the playoffs? So I already mentioned everything that's going on with the Lakers. And just to add, like I mentioned before, they are currently a game back from the fifth and the sixth seed. So they're still alive for that. But they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So as I mentioned, potential play-in matchup with the Warriors. Thing here is, man, AD is still, Anthony Davis is still finding his rhythm, man. He went 8-23, 34% from the field versus the Knicks. And the Lakers really relied on that bench for that win. Dennis Schroeder, he was out for a while. He's going to be returning, which is going to be huge for him. But the question, man, the real question here is, man, y'all, will the Lakers really have time to collectively get in sync? This is a question that I've continued to pose, and I keep saying this over and over again, man. There's something about being on the court together, having that camaraderie. I know everybody's like, oh, my God, LeBron, AD, Drummond. On paper, man, that's unstoppable. Yeah, you're right. On paper, that's unstoppable. Healthy is unstoppable as well. But that's the thing. Are they all fully healthy? No. That is the difference in them winning a championship or having an early exit in the playoffs, man. And they're gonna need huge games from their bench, man. I'm saying this right now. They're gonna need big games from their bench. Kyle Kuzma, those guys are really going to have to really elevate to a higher level, man, because if you're going up against the Warriors, I'm telling y'all, man, that's not a favorable matchup. So what they're going to want to do is really get in that, if not the fifth, they're really going to want to get that sixth spot. So if they're fifth, they would face the Nuggets. If they're sixth, they would go up against the Clippers. Even then, still, that's a tough matchup right there. But again, we all know the Clippers got Paul George over there, so or Pandemic P. So we don't know what will happen with Paul George, but that could turn into a favorable matchup. Who knows? But they're actually healthy. They're more healthy than the Lakers are, so that could still be a scary matchup for them. If they're the seventh seed, they would go up against the Suns. Another kind of, you know, that's still, you know, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, the way they've been balling, you know, DeAndre Ayton, with those guys being healthy, running at full speed, you never know, man. And like I mentioned, man, AD is still trying to find his rhythm. They're still trying to get in sync, man. And I take this back again. Last year, the Clippers looked unstoppable on paper, man. Had all the talent, had everything. We all were like, man, the Clippers, man, they're balling. But they only play 11 games together healthy, y'all. Just listen to what I'm saying. Remember this conversation. If something matters about having the camaraderie, having the time on the court, you can ball and practice all day. You can be in sync and practice all day. But when you get out there and you're on that court, are you going to be able to be healthy? Are you going to be able to contribute? Are they going to be in sync? When LeBron comes back, are we going to see shots hitting off the side of the backboard or the front of the rim? Or is he going to kind of take that mentality attack? What's going to happen there? Anthony Davis, like I said, man, think he's still a little banged up, man. And he's still been, you know, he's been doing his thing. But I'm just trying to just bring the point that let's not just say, oh, if LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Drummond are out there on the court, then it's a done deal, because that's not necessarily the case if they're not healthy, y'all. Sorry to break it to you, but that's just the facts. So let's talk about the Nets, man. So the James Harden actually returned. He posted 18 points and 11 assists, so a double-double in his return against the Spurs. The Nets are currently a game and a half back from the number one seed. They also haven't been fully healthy with Kyrie, KD, and Harden for a very long time, but they still have found a way to win throughout this year. So they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. The Nets are currently second in the NBA in scoring with 118 points per game, behind the Bucks, who post 119 points per game, and they're first in field goal percentage at 49.3% from the field. So they do have a favorable matchup in their current two seed right now in the first round between the Celtics or the Hornets. So whichever one of those teams end up landing the seventh seed, should the Brooklyn Nets stay in the second seed, they would be facing off against one of those teams. So, and if they get the number one seed, they would match up against either the Pacers or the Wizards. So favorable matchups either way it goes for the Nets. So who's in a better position? I think the Brooklyn Nets, obviously, man. I think they're in a better position to have an easier first round matchup. They're healthier with Harden coming back. KD's there, Kyrie's there. They're sitting in a better position, man, heading into this. And I just think that they're gonna have a field day in the East, man. And not saying that they're just gonna run away with it, but I know I'm looking forward to a potential that matchup, man. I really want to see that Eastern Conference Finals matchup between the 76ers and the Nets, man. We need to see it, and I'm hopeful that'll happen. And last but not least, man, let's talk about one more thing that's going on in the NBA, man. Some huge news. The NBA actually created a new award. So the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Award has now been put into effect. So again, the NBA created this new award in honor of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Man, this is huge. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and a noted civil rights activist. So this award will actually recognize a player who best embodies his striving for social justice and racial equality. So let's talk about what drove Kareem real quick, y'all. So during the Jim Crow era of segregation and racial discrimination, he actually took a stand for the betterment of African Americans. Kareem actually grew up in New York City projects, and growing up there, he was actually exposed to government neglect and injustices of poor black people. So some of the things that really drove him. So the murder of Emmett Till in 1955, that happened when Kareem was 8 years old, and the Harlem riots in 1964 after the 15-year-old James Powell, African-American 15-year-old male, was shot by the New York City police. And that happened when Kareem was 17 years old. And after that, after those events, those really triggered him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, into racial politics. Kareem is currently 74 years old, man. And just shout out to everything that he's done, man, for the African-American community. And this is huge to have this award, Social Justice Champion Award, named in honor of him. So the way it's going to work, man, all 30 NBA teams will nominate a player, and finalists will be selected by a 7-person committee composed of league execs, activists, and former NBA players. So the winner will be announced during the playoffs, and they will receive $100,000 from the league to donate to an organization of his choosing. The 4 additional finalists will receive $25,000. So they're going to spread $25,000. So $200,000 between one player and then the 4 players, that the 4 finalists that will receive it, and they'll be able to donate that money to organizations of their choosing. So this is huge, man. Hats off to the NBA for making this happen. Love to see stuff like this, man. And look forward to hopefully in the future seeing more awards out there like this, man, and more things that we could do to continue to shed light on social injustice out here in the world today, man. And hey, with that, man, I'm out of here, man. I appreciate y'all for jumping in. Again, give me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk. I love it. I'll be back again. Peace, blessings. Keep rocking with me, man. I'll be back.